Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
There were 13 opportunities to save Savita Halapanavar's life that were missed. The stark finding of a report just published by the health watchdog HICWA. I'll be talking to their director of regulation in a few minutes. But first, Philippa Trehaise has a summary of this exhaustive 259-page document. Philip, will you give us the overview first of all?
As its size would suggest, Mary, it's really actually two reports. One is into Savita Halapanavar's death, why it happened, what should have been done differently, and whose fault all of that was in HICWA's assessment. The other half of the report is an analysis of whether the risks that Savita was exposed to could happen in other hospitals and what needs to be done to ensure that that wouldn't actually happen. It's clear in its findings about Savita's case. All of the staff were responsible for ensuring she received the right care at the right time, but that didn't happen. There were, as you say, 13 opportunities to save her life that were missed, but ultimate clinical accountability rested with the consultant obstetrician who was leading Savita Halapanavar's care, quote unquote, and that was Dr. Catherine Asprey. The second part of the report will or should be of enormous concern to the Minister for Health and the HSE. HICWA says that it is impossible for it to say whether all women in every part of the country receive the same level of care and whether that level of care is optimum or is best practice. On the basis of that, they conclude something that's really quite explosive. They question the sustainability of the continued provision of maternity services in some parts of the country. Now, this is not, I have to say, a team of bean counters in HICWA assessing what may or may not be the best way to spend money. This is not a team of various vested political or medical professional interests arguing for or against the centralisation of services. This is a team of investigators whose sole mandate is health provision. Is the system working? Are the patients safe? And their conclusion is that providing maternity services in some parts of the country might not be sustainable.
Specifically though, Philip, on Savita Halapanavar, what does this report say?
There was a general lack of provision of basic fundamental care. For example, not following up on blood tests. There was a failure to recognise that Savita was at risk of clinical deterioration. Then there was a failure to act or to escalate concerns to an appropriately qualified clinician when she was showing the signs of clinical deterioration. Now, ultimately, responsibility in this report is laid at the feet of her consultant, Dr. Catherine Asprey. Dr. Asprey, you'll recall, told the inquest into Savita Halapanavar's death that she had refused her request for a termination because of the quote-unquote legal position in Ireland, and she had only agreed to perform the termination when she had formed the view that Savita's condition had deteriorated to the point that there was a real and substantial risk to Miss Halapanavar's life. In assigning responsibility here, though, it shouldn't be overlooked that though the report points out Dr. Asprey has to take ultimate responsibility, they also say that the hospital, while it had all the right policies for managing these kind of cases in place, hospital management had failed to establish that those policies weren't actually being followed. In addition to that, the hospital didn't have arrangements in place to ensure basic patient care. Their words now, that the hospital didn't have arrangements in place to ensure basic patient care on St. Monica's ward, the ward that Savita Halapanavar was on.
What does it say about the 13 missed opportunities to save Savita's life?
You'd imagine that this is the part of the report that's going to make the most difficult and uncomfortable reading for Praveen Halapanavar and Savita's family. There were 13 missed opportunities to intervene in her care. Had they been identified and acted upon, they may have potentially changed the outcome of her care, says the report. They can't, of course, say as a matter of fact that they would have, but they may have potentially changed the outcome of her care. And that's 13 opportunities in quite a short space of time between the Sunday morning when she was admitted and the Wednesday when she was handed over to the critical care team. At that point, the report says that it was probably to any intervention at that stage probably would not have saved her life. And the medical team is going to find it pretty hard to dispute that there were 13 missed opportunities, because all of these facts have either already been established by the inquest or by the HSE's own investigation. You've probably heard all of these things before in relation to her case, but when you see them laid out as they have done in this report in a timeline of failures, it's really pretty devastating. Elevated white cell count not noticed. Antibiotics not administered when her waters broke as a precaution against infection. Nobody interpreted her low blood pressure and elevated heartbeat readings correctly, and so on and so on and so on. 10 more times until it was, unfortunately, just too late to do anything that was going to make a difference.
You told us they had policies, but nobody had checked to see that the policies were being followed. What about resources? Was a lack of resources involved here?
I'm a bit unclear about this, and it's just as well that we have somebody from HICWA coming on now, because the report says that there was no clear pathway for patients to get timely decisions when they needed them. It says that consultants assigned to the labour ward were frequently to be found elsewhere in theatre, so they were unavailable where they were needed on the labour ward. And very interesting, they also point out that Savita's ward was also used as the overflow ward to accommodate anti and postnatal patients when other wards were full. So there were a lot of patients there with a lot of different, a big case mix, a lot of different needs. The report doesn't say, though, whether this was all just down to poor management in University Hospital or a lack of resources necessitating this.
Now, on a national level, the report suggests that the HSE does not learn from its mistakes.
And this is one of the most pointed aspects of the report. The investigators reference the death in 2007 of Tanya McCabe and her son Zach in Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda. And they do this because they say there are disturbing similarities between that death and Savita Halapanavar's. They then note with concern, quote unquote, that only 5 of the 19 maternity hospitals or maternity units around the country were able to provide a detailed status update on the implementation of the recommendations from the Tanya McCabe report. In other words, 6 years on from Tanya McCabe's death, nearly 3/4 of our maternity units are incapable of proving whether the HSE can learn on a national level from its mistakes. And this, Tanya McCabe's death, was not some unlikely, statistically improbable mistake either. They note that sepsis has become one of the leading maternal killers in the UK in recent years. So really, the HSE should have, by 2012, learned from what had already happened in 2007.
You talked about the sustainability of some of these units. It is questioned in the report.
Most maternity units in the country have a consultant-led model, but we fall far short of the one consultant for every 350 births ratio that the HSE has said itself is optimum. Now, HICWA raises this specific concern. They say that they can't effectively measure whether best practices are being adhered to, like they weren't in Galway, because of the shortage of data relating to the quality of services. And this is the political dynamite then. In the absence of being able to say conclusively whether best practice is being implemented and adhered to, HICWA questions the sustainability of the provision of maternity services in some areas, quote unquote. As a result, the authority is recommending that the HSE and the Department of Health should, as a priority, conduct a review of maternity services nationally and agree and implement standard, consistent models for the delivery of those services in order to ensure that everybody has the right level and the safe level of care on a 24-hour basis. The grenade on the deck, though, is this conclusion from an agency that I say, in its 6 years of existence, has not been known for losing the head or making dramatic, unprovable statements. And HICWA questions the sustainability of the provision of maternity services in some areas. And that is going to support the agenda of those who argue in favour of centralisation, of creating centres of excellence, and ultimately of mothballing regional services. And that is highly charged political territory.
Philip, thank you very much for joining us. Joining us now as well, the HICWA Director of Regulation, Phelim Quinn. Thank you for joining us. Can we talk about your role here, first of all? And what was that role? Was it to inquire into the circumstances of Savita Halappanavar's death or into the standards of maternal care more widely in this country?
Thank you, Mary. I think one of the first things that I would want to reiterate this evening is, the publication of this report today, I do think provides a very, very difficult read for Praveen Halappanavar and his family. So I would wish to extend on behalf of the authority our continued sympathies to Praveen. With regard to the investigation itself, the investigation certainly looked at the circumstances that surrounded the care of Savita Halappanavar, but it was her death, this incident, that in actual fact was the seminal prompt for the concerns around, or the potential concerns around, risk to the safety of patients within Galway Hospital and wider HSC. So the focus within this particular investigation is certainly on the case of Savita Halappanavar, but much, much wider. It looked in much more depth at services within Galway generally, and then also extended that investigation out nationally.
And I agree with you, this is a very difficult read for the Halappanavar family. It's a very worrying read as well for every pregnant woman and their families in this country, and every woman indeed of childbearing age, because of the difference in standards and the lack of a national standard across the board for maternity care. Would you agree?
I would agree. I think one of the key findings for us within this investigation has been the significant variation in, I suppose, the application of a model of maternity service across the country. We find very, very little in the way of consistency from unit to unit in the way, A, it was managed, the way services were actually being delivered, the way in which workforce ratios were being applied, the way in which information on safety and quality was actually being used to improve those services. So there is a very, very significant, variation in the way in which women across the country will receive maternity care. That said, I would want to caution that, you know, day and daily, thousands of women receive maternity care in Ireland, and that maternity care is delivered in a safe way, and the experience of women is in the main very, very good. However, I do believe that in order to bring maternity services in Ireland up to a 21st century standard, we need to look at our recommendation in respect of a maternity services strategy. We need to make sure that the department and the HSC take account of all of those issues that I've just mentioned as part of that strategy, and that we, as I say, bring our services up to a contemporaneous standard.
And would it be true to say as well that in this long report, and it will take a lot of reading, that even where you find that the protocols are there, the standards are there, that they're not adhered to? And one example that I saw in Galway, they had this obstetric early warning score, which was at the chart, introduced in 2009, but not in use 3 years later.
I think the key issue with that one, and this is very, very specific to the case of Savita Halappanavar, was that there was in place a local maternity early warning score. There was also a local protocol or guideline on the management of maternal sepsis. However, the ward that in which she was cared for, the St Monica's ward, weren't using either of those protocols, even though they were caring on a regular basis for antenatal and postnatal women. So that was of grave concern to us. And whilst we believe that there was a responsibility and an onus on the clinical professionals caring for Savita Halappanavar to be aware of the existence of those protocols, there was also a failing on the part of the hospital to make sure that those protocols were in use.
Mm. Mrs. Halappanavar died from complications due to sepsis. We've heard that from the inquest and from the earlier report. And yet in this country, we have no agreement on what sepsis actually is. Why is there no agreement?
I'm not 100% sure on why there's no specific agreement, but, the the definition of maternal sepsis exists within other jurisdictions. And I do think it is important that in measuring and monitoring various elements of maternal morbidity, there need to be agreed definitions, there needs to be an agreed data set, and we need to start to collect that information relatively quickly. We need to be able to provide assurances and to learn from that information, because as that information starts to come out, we can assess trends within that information and then respond in a safe and effective way.
So when people, our own Minister for Health included, have said that Ireland is one of the safest countries in the world to give birth, have they been saying that without access to adequate information to make that assessment?
I think certainly there is global information in terms of maternal deaths in Ireland, and to some extent that information can be benchmarked against some of the international information. But in order to, I suppose, have an assurance on safe services, it's not just deaths that we need to look at. We also need to look at morbidity figures. So that is why we've focused on this particular issue within this report. There is a requirement for better information in order for us to provide assurances on the safety of the services.
Phelim, you talked about having a strategy, the need for a maternity strategy. What difference would that make?
I think having a maternity strategy would make a significant difference for us in the country. I think there are a number of key elements, if contained within that strategy, would help us bring our services into a modern day set of services. So as an example, we need to make sure that there is, you know, population needs assessments, that, you know, that the services are matched against the specific and local needs of populations across the country. There needs to be a development of specific models of care that provide a range of choices for women when they attend for their antenatal, intranatal and postnatal care. We also need to make sure that we are getting our workforce figures right. That's our midwifery workforce figures, but also our obstetrician and our anaesthetic workforce figures right. There are many instances of evidence from across the world around what the obstetric requirements are for labour ward cover, both in terms of anaesthetics and obstetricians. Mm-hmm. And there are issues as well around pathways for care, governance arrangements, and we've already mentioned issues in respect of information. So there are many, many salient elements that would need to be included within that National Maternity Services Strategy.
And to conclude, to come back to something Philip was saying arising out of the report and quoting from the report about the sustainability of the provision of maternity services in some areas in this country, have we too many maternity units? Do we need to downsize and have maternity centres of excellence?
I think in the absence of the specifics of a review, it would be very, very difficult for us to say, you know, where maternity services are absolutely sustainable or unsustainable. But I do believe that a maternity services strategy would help us start to assess that, because in that strategy we would have a match against the population needs assessment.
Thank you very much for joining us. That's Phelim Quinn, HICWA's Director of Regulation, at 25 minutes past 5 o'clock. Praveen Halapanavar's solicitor has just given his reaction to reporters in Galway.
Well, first of all, I'm glad the report is published. Our office has received a copy of the report this afternoon, just before 3 o'clock, before HICWA published the report. It's some 257 pages. It's a very detailed and comprehensive report, and I and my client will have require some time to consider it, review it, and then comment in more detail on it.
But some of the findings, we know, for example, that HICWA found that there was a failure to provide the most basic care to Savita Halapanavar. Does that vindicate Praveen's position all this time?
Yes, it has always been his position that she was deprived of very basic care, and indeed that has now been borne out by the report. The report finds that in fact there were almost 13 missed opportunities which could have changed the course of her treatment, care, and indeed may well have saved her life. My client will review the report and I will review it, as indeed with counsel, and we will consider what separate action, if any, should be taken in the light of the content of this report.
Are you going to be speaking to Praveen at any stage today with regard to this report?
Yes, I confirmed them. I sent him a cheque a short while ago to let him know the report had issued, and I sent him a copy of the report. He will have to read it I've no doubt that he will be pleased that the report is out and that inquiry is now concluded, and I've no doubt that he will make some form of a statement himself early next week about the matter.
But obviously a very difficult time for him and the family.
It is a very difficult time because we're coming up to the first anniversary of the loss of his wife and daughter, so it would be a very, very difficult time for him. But nonetheless, he wishes to pursue and get to the truth of what happened, and he has an opinion that he feels that there should be accountability for what happened. He's lost his wife and child and feels that somebody should be held accountable for it.
Gerard O'Donnell, their solicitor for Praveen Halappanavar, giving his reaction to that report to reporters in Galway.